Morning. Today's daf in Nazir is Mem Zayin. Thanks to the Lipin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The office on the Zechon is sponsored by Gabriela Bashmuel. We're going to start today on the top of the Amud with the Mishnah, Misha Nizrak. This Mishnah is the final Mishnah of the sixth parak of the Masechta. The sixth parak of the Masechta dealt with two basic topics. Number one was the three Surim that applies to every Nazir. And so the Mishnah went through the three Surim. The Mishnayos took us through a little bit of comparison shopping, how each Isser may have certain chumras over the other. And then the end of the Perek, the Mishnayos talked about basically the conclusion of a Nazirus, how a Nazir ends off his Nazirus, the Karbanos, and some of the details regarding the bringing of the Karbanos for both a Nazir Tameh and a Nazir Tahor. Exactly, well, at what point in time does the Nazir conclude Nazirus? Well, we know that he has to go through three Karbanos at the end, and the shaving and the placing of the hair under the pod, and so there's much to be done at the end, but exactly at what point in time is he come to a conclusion? So that, if you remember, was a machlokus on the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Hamed Beis. The Mishnah over there brought down a machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, which we learned in the Braisa is also a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, according to the Chachamim, so Zrikas Dam, the sprinkling of the blood of just one of the three Karbanos, is going to be the conclusion of his Nazirus. That's the accepted halacha. Although the Chachamim disagree, the Chachamim say no, that it is going to be, he have to bring all three Karbanos, and you have to do the hair shaving, and according to Rav, you have to do the tanufa, basically everything, and only when you get to the end. The last mission that we did in yesterday's daf, I should say, yeah, the last mission we did in yesterday's daf, Mem Vav Amud Beis, talked about the Nazir doing giluach, shaving his head over a carbon, and then finding out that something happened to the carbon. A disqualification happens to the carbon. So is that okay? Is that not okay? So the Mishnah says that's not okay. That's not going to be a good giluach. And not only is the giluach need to be redone again, but the actual carbon needs to be brought again as well. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf, in yesterday's Mishnah. We are on the very top of today's daf. We're starting with the Mishnah. Mishnah is Rekalav Echem and Adamim Venitma. So what happens is that after Zrikas Hadamim, the person becomes tummy, the Nazir becomes tummy. So Rabbi Eliezer, or so says a cult, so Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, you got to start all over again. It's a stira. It's a ruination, if you will, of the Nazir, and he's got to start all over again. Now, this is Rabbi Eliezer, consistent with what he said just a couple days ago, which we just reviewed, which is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the status of Nazirus will continue until all the Karbanos are brought. And over here, he becomes Tameh after the Zrikas Dam of just one of the Karbanos. It's not over. He's still a Nazir. He's still the status of a Nazir. And so therefore, even if he becomes Tameh this late in the game, still, it's Soser. It's going to upset. So v'chachamim omrim
for another 30 days.
We'll get to the exact number in just a moment. That's the right question. We'll get to that. V'chachamim omrim yavi shar kabanosav v'yitayer. So and according to the chachamim, no, you bring the other kabanos and you become tahor. Now the exact formulation of the Mishnah is a little bit misleading. Sounds like first you bring the kabanos and then you become tahor, right? It's really the other way around. In fact, if you take a look at Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud, v'chachamim Tosas writes perush lichishiyitaher. In other words, no. The correct way to understand the Mishnah is that look, after Zrikas Dam of one of the Karbanos, according to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, he's done. He's no longer a Nazir. The problem, of course, is now that after Zrikas Dam of one of the Karbanos, it becomes Tameh, fine. So just simply wait until it becomes Tahor. What the Mishnah means, says Tosos, is when he becomes Tahor, then you're going to bring the other Karbanos as well. Kach mefarsh b'Yushami, Tosos says, that's the Pshat in the Yushami. Stam maisa detahar v'acher kach yavi Karbanos. That first you become Tahor, and then afterwards you bring the Karbanos. Okay, well, the Mishnah's point, says Tosfos, is that the carbon that you brought already is good, meaning that counts. That was done behechsher. That counts towards your Nazirus. That doesn't need to be brought again. But the balance of the components that you need to bring, that needs to be brought. That is Tosfos' understanding of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah tells us a story. Amar lo maisa be Miriam haTalmudit. Was an episode with Miriam from Talmud. Right. The stories in the Mishnah regarding Nazir refers to female Nazirim, not the male. So the Earlier we had a story with Hiloni Amalka, right? She was a Nazir for 21 years. Bit of a question in the Mishnah whether it was 21 or 14. So here we go with another Nazira Miriam. She nizrak ala echam in adamim uval varmala abita shahaisa misu kenes. Now, the Mishnah describes how there was zrikas adam of one of the karbanos, and then report came to her that her daughter was in a bad condition. Va'acha umatzah shemesa, and Rachmanus daughter turned out to be dead. Va'amr chacham and tavishar karbanasam v'titaher, and the chachamim said, okay, meaning, you know, obviously it's a tragedy, but just dealing with the halacha is that she brought one karban, there was zrikas adam of one of the karbanos, that's it, that's good. So in other words, her Naziris now has come to a conclusion. The fact that she becomes Tameh, in other words, her daughter was Nifteris, so the fact that she becomes Tameh, okay, now she's Tameh. But the fact of the matter is that she's Tameh after the bringing of one of the Karbanos. Zrika Saddam, one of the Karbanos, is all you need to do in order to conclude your Naziris. So what she'll do is that she'll be, again, we're operating with Tosus's premise, she'll become Tahara, and she'll simply bring the balance of the other two Karbanos. Okay, Ketani. We start with the Gemara. It's a short amount of Gemara right here on this Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, all my associates are called according to Rabbi Eliezer. It upsets everything. So the Gemara says, okay, but you'll remember. And we've said this already twice in the Masechta earlier, and now we're saying it a third time, and it's coming up later as well, that after you finish counting, even though you are soser your Naziris, it does not mean that you're soser all the days. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when you're soser after the conclusion of the count, you're only soser for 7 days. So kol achar melos, after you finish counting, shiva soser, it's only soser 7 days. So Amarav, my soser and I'm to come Rabbi Eliezer, soser karbonosav. So the Gemara says, correct, meaning right. You don't have to recount the whole Naziris again. All you need to do is count 7 days in order to bring your Karbanos. And by the way, of course, when we say count 7 days, it of course means you also have to become Tohor, obviously. But it just simply means that you're going to have to wait now another 7 days. And now we can point out that really, the machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is really, it's not so limited, but it's much more limited than we originally thought. Meaning when originally presented the two opinions of the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Eliezer says, that's it, it upsets everything. It's so serious a call. The Chachamim say, no, it's not so serious a call. Now it comes out that, truth of the matter is that according to both, all you need to do is 7 days, during those 7 days become Tahor, and then come back to the base of Mikdash and then bring your Karbanos. So in terms of time, the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer really come out to be the same. What now is the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? There's only one difference. And that is, do you have to do a redo on the Karbanos? Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what you need to do now is you need to bring the Karbanos again. Because the first carbon that you bring didn't satisfy your Naziris obligation. You only satisfy the Naziris obligation when you bring all three. And you go through the entire process. But if you didn't bring all three, then you didn't finish your Nazir. So you're still a Nazir who needs to conclude. And you became Tameh after the bringing of the first carbon. That's no good. So you're going to wait 7 days, become Torah during those 7 days. You're going to come back according to Rabbi Eliezer, and you're going to bring all the Karbanos. Masha Enkein, according to the Chachamim, no. You're going to wait 7 days, you're going to come back, same as Rabbi Eliezer, but the first carbon that you brought, that was good. That concluded your Naziris. You're just simply now on the hook to bring the balance of the Karbanos. So really, the entire difference now in our mission between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is just a question of, do I need to bring the carbon that I already brought? According to Rabbi Eliezer, yes. And according to the Chachamim, no. The Gemara says this is also it's mistaber, it's logical, because in the Mishnah it says, because one of the Chachamim say you bring the rest of the Karbanos. So you see that their point of contention according to the against Rabbi Eliezer is Rabbi Eliezer says you got to bring all the Karbanos, and the Chachamim to that say no, you don't have to bring all of them, you just have to bring the balance. Okay. And once again, just quoting the rest of the Mishnah, again, what we're focusing on is Tavi Sha'ar Karbanaseha. She just needs to bring the balance of the Karbanas, meaning the real point of contention between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is strictly on the balance of the Karbanas. But in terms of the amount of time that you need to wait, Elu ve'elu, they both in agreement that you only need to wait a week. Hadron lach shoshaminim. And that is the conclusion of the sixth parak of the Masechta. And we are about to begin now the seventh parak. Before we begin the seventh parak of the Masechta, just a short introduction. Kohanim are not allowed to come into contact with Tumas Meis. It's one of the responsibilities / privileges of being a Kohen, is that a Kohen can't expose himself to Tumas Meis. There are exceptions for a regular Kohen, and that would be for his immediate family members. A Kohen Hedyot, a quote-unquote a regular Kohen, a simple Kohen, anyone who's not a Kohen Gadol, okay, that's the majority of Kohanim, all Kohanim nowadays. So a Kohen Hedyot cannot come into contact with Tumah, but a Kohen Hedyot can and should be Metame for Krovim, for the seven relatives, mother and father, brother and unmarried sister, son and daughter, and spouse. So for those seven relatives, the Kohen is allowed / required to be Metame to expose himself to the Tumah of Krovim, but other than that, no. And of course, the other big exception, which we're going to be discussing today, is Meis Mitzvah. If, let's say, somebody dies and nobody's there to tend to the mace, so now there becomes a mitzvah. The Gemara in Megillah describes this as being one of the most paramount mitzvahs out there, that there's now a mitzvah, that mace mitzvah, yes, you have to bury the dead if you're the one that finds the encounters that mace. And that would be true whether you are someone from Yisrael, and it would be true even if you're a Kohen. And as we'll learn later on this morning, it's true even if you're a Kohen Gadol. Still, there's this idea of Meis Mitzvah. These are the halachas for a Kohen Hedyot. What about if you're a Kohen Gadol? So the beginning of Parshas Emor tells us that for the Kohen Gadol, so he operates with even a higher degree of Tahara. So the beginning of Parshas Emor, the Torah says, L'nefesh lo yitama, I'll just read from the beginning, V'yomar Hashem Moshe Amar al Kohanim b'nei Aaron v'amart aleihem, L'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. Regarding the Kohanim, so you're not allowed to come into contact with Tumah Kim L'Sheira Karavei Lav L'Imo L'Aviv L'Bno L'Vito L'Achiv U'Lachasa U'Lachosa B'Sula Karavei Lav V'Shel La'Isa L'Ish La Yitama. So the Torah, that's the allowance for the Kohanim to become Tame for the relatives. I skip ahead a little bit. So The Pasuk Yud, this is all Perek Chaf Aleph in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor. It's the beginning of Parshas Emor, first Aliyah. V'akoin ha-gadol me'achav asher yitzak al-rosh ha-shem min ha-mishcha, u'mileyes yado l'lobo she'etza ha-begadim. So when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, anointed with the Shem min ha-mishcha, which we're going to talk more about later this morning. And wears additional begadim, wears additional clothing. A Kohen Hadjo wears four articles of clothing. Kohen Gadol wears eight articles of clothing. So es roshola yifram v'gadav lo yifram. So always has to keep himself in order. Hair has to always be cut, and clothing has to always be in order. V'al kol nefashos meis lo yevo l'aviv v'lima lo yitama, and cannot come into contact with any tama, not for his father, not for his mother, lo yitama. He's not allowed to become tummy. Okay. And by the way, the Torah says father, mother, but it's true for the other seven korvim as well. Okay. So basically we have a Kohen Hedyot who can become Tamei for the seven Krovim, and we have a Kohen Gadol who cannot become Tamei for the Shiva Krovim. And now, in this introduction, let's turn to Parshas Nazir. That's not a Parsha, but in Bamidbar, Perek Vav, we've been quoting it extensively throughout this Masechta. So let's take a look together at the Nazir. Torah describes that a Nazir also is not allowed to come into Tumah, and the Torah says, Kol Yamehi Zira L'Hashem Nefesh Meis L'Yavo, during the days where he's a Nazir, so he's not allowed to come into contact with Tumas Meis, L'Aviv U'Li'imo, U'Lachiv L'Achoso Lo Yitama, L'Hem B'Mosam Ki Nezir Lo Kaval Rosho. The Torah says explicitly, he's not allowed to come into contact with his Krovim, with his relatives. Meaning a Nazir is equivalent to a Kohen Gadol. A Nazir is equivalent to a Kohen Gadol. Okay, in terms of level of Tahara and who he cannot become Tamei towards. Just parenthetically, I'll say this: the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes Yaakov has such a nice pshat. The Torah says regarding the nazir, they cannot come into contact with his krovin. So the Torah says, la'aviv li'imo, for his father, for his mother, la'achiv la'choso, for his brother and for his sister, lo yitam alehem b'mosam, so he's not allowed to come into tameh. You know, the Torah, anyway, is going through the list of family members, and we know there's seven. Why doesn't the Torah fill out the bottom generation? Meaning the Torah says, not for the mother, not for the father, not for the brother, not for the sister. Why doesn't the Torah mention son and daughter? Now, again, it's a tragedy, obviously, for one to lose a son or a daughter. But as long as we're going through the relatives, why not mention son and daughter? So it mentions it by the Kohen, right? Admittedly, not by the Kohen Gadol. But by the Kohen Hedjo, the Torah says, Okay, so it mentions it by the Kohen. Why doesn't it mention by the Nazir? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes Yaakov, so he says, it's such a nice pshat, he says that because generally speaking, who's going to become a Nazir? So so Rav Yaakov says it's an older person's not going to become a Nazir. Because what happens as we get older is we get set in our ways. We're not ready to change. We're not ready to make any type of real. We're not ready to make any new changes in our life. We're pretty much set in our ways. So the person who's going to make like real changes in the life, like effective changes in the life, there's going to be somebody young. So Rav Yaakov says that's why the Torah in Parshas Nazir, he has parents, he has siblings. He's not going to have children. In other words, right? You already have children. You're already pretty much set in your way. You're not going to become a nazir. He's not, just to be clear, he's not saying you can't become a nazir later in life. For sure you can. Just simply that's the Torah speaking to the Derech HaTeva of the idea that, generally speaking, we're more apt to make those real changes in life when we're younger, not when we're older. Anyway.
We just had the story about Miriam
Hunt. Right, exactly.
Correct. Right, isn't that great? I tell over the Rav Yaakov immediately after we learned the Mishnah together. That's great. No, he pointed out that the previous Mishnah, Miriam, who became a Nazir, had a daughter, and the daughter died. So, okay, that's great. That's a perfect time to say over the Rav Yaakov. Okay. Perfect. Good. So now after that introduction, so we know that a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol are on the same footing. And so now that's going to prompt our Mishnah to have the following discussion / machlokas. Kohen Gadol v'Nazir, ein mitamin l'kroveim. So first the facts, which we went through already, but the Mishnah summarizes it in one line. Kohen Gadol and Nazir are not mitami for the relatives. Ava mitamin l'meis mitzvah. However, if either one of them sees a meis mitzvah, again, the paramount nature of a meis mitzvah is, doesn't matter who you are, you could be the Kohen Gadol, you could be a Nazir, you could be somebody who cannot even be mitame for your own family members, but it's a meis mitzvah, there's nothing to talk about, you're mitame. Fine. And now, it's the Mishnah goes on with its following challenge. So Hayim Alchem Ederech. So you have a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol walking side by side together. Sounds like the beginning of a terrible joke. But the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol walking side by side. Umatzah makes mitzvah, but this is not a joke. And they find they makes mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitame Kohen Gadol Va'al Yitame Nazir. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, who's got to sacrifice their tumah to tend to the makes mitzvah? Okay. So, on one hand, they're accomplishing a mitzvah gadol. On the other hand, they're also losing their status of being tahor. They're going to have to become tamei. So who's it going to be? So Rabbi Eliezer says it should be the Kohen Gadol who should tend to the meis mitzvah, and he should be the one compromising his tuma, or I should say his tahara, to become tamei, and not the nazir. The chachamim omrim yitame nazir. V'yitame kohen. The chachamim say no, I don't see it that way. I think the nazir should compromise his tuma, his tahara, and become tamei. Now, in the Mishnah, by the way, parenthetically, the girsa that we have in our Mishnah is Va'aitami Kohen Hedyot. So, okay, on the side, it's called, he says that others have the girsa of Kohen Gadol, not Kohen Hedyot. Anyway,
the difference is that Nazir actually put on this.
So now, right. So let's now analyze. So Amar Lahem Rabbi Elazar, Yitame Kohen Sheino Mevi Karban Al Tumaso, Va'al Yitame Nazir Shu Mevi Karban Al Tumaso. So first, let's have an argument on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer makes a very poignant argument, and that is, let's consider a Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh for the Meis Mitzvah. Now again, he's allowed to. He becomes Tameh for the Meis Mitzvah, and now what? And then he's going to become Tohor. and then life will go on. If a Nazir becomes Tameh for the Mace Mitzvah, now again, if it were only the Nazir there, obviously he would have to roll up his sleeves and tend to the Mace Mitzvah. But think of the ramifications. Even if he does that, and again, he was perfectly within his right to do that. Still got to bring Karbanos. He's a Nazir. He's a Nazir, becomes Tameh. So even though he had every right to do so, not only every right, but an obligation to do so. But still, when all said and done, he's a Nazir Tameh. He's got to reboot his Naziris. How do you reboot your Naziris? So you're going to have to bring Karbanos. He's going to have to bring an Ola, Chatzos and Asham. A Chatzos and Asham means that he sinned. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I think the Kohen Gadol should go and compromise his Tahara, because for him, there's no Karbanos ramification, as opposed to the Nazir, where for him, there are Karbanos ramifications if he becomes Tameh.
Good.
Amr lo, Tameh Nazir, Shein Kedusha so. Sorry, Amr lo yitami nazir shein kedusha so kedusha zolam vayitami kohen shein kedusha so kedusha zolam. And the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Eliezer, let's take a quote unquote a larger picture of what's going on over here. We have a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is tahara for life, meaning it's he's in a state of tahara, and that is a permanent position. Okay, Kohen Gadol is Kohen Gadol for life. Okay, it's Kedusha, so Kedusha, so Olam. Born with the Kedusha, maintains the Kedusha. Now, not born a Kohen Gadol, obviously. Kohen Gadol is an appointed position. But still, born a Kohen, gets elevated to the position of Kohen Gadol, and will be there in that position for Kohen Gadol for the balance of his life. Meanwhile, we have the Nazir. Nazir's temporary. Nazir is going to be a Nazir. And yes, during his Naziris, obviously, he's going to have the same level of commitment to Kedusha V'Tahara as a Kohen Gadol. But once again, he's a temp. So because he's a temp, so therefore, I think, says the Chachamim, that given the choice of who should compromise his Tahara, I think it should be the Nazir over the Kohen Gadol. Nazir's a temp, Kohen Gadol's permanent. Okay. That's the argument of the Chachamim. Now, just to flesh out the argument, one more level. So Tosfos discusses, what if it's the Nazir Olam? Would the Chachamim still say that the Nazir Olam should compromise his Kedusha? And Tosfos writes very succinctly, yeah, I think so. I think even the Nazir who has Kedusha's Olam, Nazir Olam, still is going to have to tend to the mace over that of a Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos doesn't say much on this topic, but he just writes, it's the second long line of Tosfosim. Nazir Kedusha's Kedusha Shah, ve'afilu ama Nazir Olam. And even if the Nazir Olam, becomes Tam Nazir, Yishloshim Yom. But Tosfos writes that, look, even a Nazir Olam, who's going to be Nazir his whole life, but still is categorically in the same kind of category as somebody who would be a Nazir for only 30 days. So it's true that he will be in this position for the rest of his life, but he's still associated with a group of people that are basically temps. And so, therefore, the Nazir should tend to the mace, not the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, but the Kohen Gadol has to do a certain avodah, which that would disqualify.
Right. Correct.
So
correct.
Chachamim are correct.
Rabbi Lazar would argue that yes, he'll do the avodah, and 7 days from now he'll be perfectly fine. I mean, I guess you could say, well, what if we're 3 days away from Yom Kippur, meaning? And now the avodah is at stake. Okay, I hear that. They're speaking more generically. They're just speaking like in general, who should bow first, who should compromise the tahara first.
Where is the ritual for the Kohen Gadol to get it up between?
Same.
Yes, we call
it. Oh no. It's just same as in terms of the Parah Aduma. Same.
Three and 7 days.
That's it. Same. Okay. And with this now, Bishlam a Kohen Gadol v'Nazir, Ha'isaver Kohen Gadol v'Ha'isaver Nazir Adif. So the Gemara starts off its discussion on the very bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph and saying, look, when it comes to Kohen Gadol and Nazir, so, okay, the Gemara says, I got nothing to say about it. Meaning, you look back at the Mishnah, you see there's a machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. Okay, and basically, what can I tell you, says the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar says that the Nazir has more Kedusha. And again, indicated by the fact that he's got carbon consequences at the end of becoming Tameh. And the Chachamim say, no, you're comparing a permanent Kohen Gadol to the temporary Nazir. For sure the Nazir should compromise his Tahara first. Good. So the Gemara says, I got nothing to add to that discussion. That is right. It's a machlokus l'shem shamayim. Good. It stays a machlokus. Gemara says, but here's what we'll do now. For today, from now until basically the rest of today's daf. And that is, let us ask a series of other questions of who should go first. Meaning basically we're going to have the same construct as our Mishnah. Two people walking side by side. Both of them have Kedusha, right? A higher level of Kedusha. They come across the Meis Mitzvah. So who should yield first? Who should go and compromise his Tahara first? So let's go. Number one. So, Meshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha u'meruba b'gadim. Okay, turning to the top of Mem Zayin Amid Beis. So here's our first question of the day. A Kohen who is anointed with the oil versus a Kohen who is wearing additional clothing. Just a quick introduction to this bit of Gemara. And that is, we know that the Kohen Gadol is an appointed position. And when you get appointed to the position of Kohen Gadol, so you are anointed with oil. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu constructed a compound of oil infused with a number of spices. The Gemara in Croesus, I think, pretty sure Croesus, goes through the compound and goes through. It's an issur, by the way, for any one of us to try to recreate the compound of this kind of oil, of this particular type of oil. But anyway, and the Torah basically says that this Kohen Gadol is going to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. That was composed by, compounded by Moshe Rabbeinu. As a historical note, which is not it's not really a footnote to this discussion, but as a historical note, so we know that Kohanim were anointed with oil for about the next 1,000 years after Moshe Rabbeinu, approximately. It's less. It's till the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, so Melchi Yoshiyahu took the Shemen HaMishcha, and he put in Geniza and he hid it. Okay, for various reasons, knowing the first Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, so he took it and he hid it, so... Yeah. Okay. About 800 years. Okay. So for the first 800 years after Moshe compounded and composed this Shemen HaMishcha, so Kohanim were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Okay. We know there were Kohen Gadols afterwards. We know that there were Kohen Gadols during the Second Temple. How were they anointed? How were they appointed the position? So the answer is really simple. They were appointed. Meaning, congratulations, you're the Kohen Gadol. We don't have the Shemen HaMishcha. We used to have the Shemen HaMishcha, but now we don't. Yoshio went and he put in Geniza. So, but what? How is it going to be noted that you are now the appointed Kohen Gadol? The answer is very simple. He wore, instead of four begadim, he wore eight begadim. Kohen Gadol wears eight articles of clothing. So that is what the Gemara here describes as meruba begadim. Just simply, he wears two times more articles of clothing than the regular Kohen. Regular Kohen, tunic, pants, belt, and hat. And the Kohen Gadol wears an additional four more garments. So that is the way of anointment and appointment of a Kohen Gadol after Yoshiyahu hid the Shemen HaMishcha. And so what? So for most of halachas as it relates to Kohen Gadol, it's not going to make a difference. Meaning that the Shemen HaMishcha is the proper way to appoint a Kohen Gadol, but if you don't have Shemen HaMishcha, so then you don't have Shemen HaMishcha, and therefore he's not going to get appointed. There is one basic nafka, I mean a practical difference halachically, between a Kohen Gadol appointed through the Shemen HaMishcha versus a Kohen Gadol not appointed through the Shemen HaMishcha, and that is a special karban. In Parshas Vayikra, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, so the Torah describes how if various people sin, so they have to bring a special karban. And that's not just true for you and I, that's true for people in higher authority. And because there are people in higher authority, so actually the Torah identifies that for their chet, they're going to have to bring a special karban. And the Torah in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra and Perek Dalet goes on to describe that if a Kohen Gadol were to be chotefi, were to sin. So he brings a special carbon. And the Torah there goes on to describe, I'm in Perek Dalid of Sefer Vayikra, Pasuk Gimel, Im Akona Mashiach Yechetel Hashmas Ha'am V'Yikriv Al Chataso Shechata Parben Bakar Tamim L'Hashem L'Chatas. So the Kohen Gadol, if he sins, so he's going to have to bring a par. He's going to have to bring a bull. Which, by the way, is unusual in the world of Karban Chatas, because Karban Chatas is almost always going to be a female animal. And for the Kohen Gadol, so he's going to bring a par, he's going to bring a bull. Okay, but anyway, Kohen Gadol brings a special carbon. We learned this back in Masechta Megillah, and the Gemara in Krisus is going to make this point as well, and we're going to say it right now as well anyway, and that is that this special carbon of the Kohen Gadol is only if he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Meaning, if he was not anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, so he doesn't bring the special carbon. He'll bring a regular chatos, but he won't bring the special carbon. That is really almost the only difference I can think of, right? The Mishnah from Megillah, Ein Bein. There's no difference between this and this except. So the only difference between a Kohen Meshuach versus a Kohen Meruba Begadim, I should say Kohen Gadol, is going to be the special carbon that's brought. So now, with that stated, that was a little bit of a lengthy introduction, but okay, good. Information we needed to know. So, Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha U'Meruba Begadim. So, now you have two Kohen Gadols walking down the street. So, a number of things which are unusual about this case, and that would be, you have two Kohen Gadols walking down the street. I mean, normally... Right. That's a little bit unusual. Usually you only have one Kohen Gadol. But that's not... That in of itself is not much of an issue, because we know that if a Kohen Gadol, for whatever reason, can't do the Avodah, so then you have somebody filling in the spot, and that person who fills in the spot, even if he's filling in for just a short amount of time, has the status of a Kohen Gadol. What makes this case more unusual is that Tosfos makes this point, either you lived during the time where there was Shemen HaMishcha, so then both Kohen Gadols are going to be appointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, or you lived after the time of Yoshio, and so therefore you're going to be Meruba Begadim. So the case over here is going to be really unusual. Right, it's right, almost hypothetical. Tosfos says it's possible that, you know, one was anointed right before the Geniza, and one was appointed right after the Geniza. It's within the realm of possibility. But the truth of the matter is that we're discussing a case that, you know, it's going to be not lamaisa. It's not going to be a practical, we're not going to have practical application of this case, but still, Torah eats, part of Torah. So the Gemara discusses, Meshuach b'Shemen HaMishcha Adif. So we're going to put the Shemen HaMishcha Kohen Gadol above, meaning he's not going to compromise his Tahara, but rather, first the Meruba Begadim is going to go. Deila Meshuach B'Shem Namishcha, maybe par habal kol mitzvos. Vila Meruba Begadim, ain't maybe. Okay, so, and the Gemara notes that the reason why is because of what we just described. Because the Meshuach Mechama Kohen, I'm sorry, not yet. The Meshuach, the Kohen Gadol Meshuach B'Shem Namishcha, would in fact bring the par described in Parshas Vayikra, and so therefore he's on a slightly higher level of Tahara. Well, I mean, yeah, but in other words, we're leaving the... Yeah, I'm not sure. In other words, we're leaving the case of Nazir versus Kohen Gadol. Okay. Meshuach Sha'avar Meruba Begadim. Okay, let's now discuss the following. Let's have two Kohen Gadols walking side by side. One of them is Meshuach Sha'avar. Okay, so he was anointed with the oil. He did serve as a Kohen Gadol, but Avar. Okay, but no longer. Okay, he's... Emeritus. Right, so he's right, emeritus. Kohen Gadol Emeritus, together walking side by side with Meruba Begadim. So he's a current Kohen Gadol, just that he wasn't anointed with the oil. So Meruba Begadim Adif de Meruba Begadim Avid Avoda. Vila Meshuach Sha'avar Lav Bar Avodahu. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to put the current Kohen Gadol, even though he was anointed not with the oil, but in his current position, he's doing the Avoda. So given the choice now of, there's a Meitz Mitzvah, which one of you going to attend to it? So Emeritus has to go, because he's not currently serving the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that's an easy one. Avar machmas kiryov, avar machmas mumo. Let's say you have two emeritus Kohen Gadol walking side by side, and one of them they're both no longer serving, but for two different reasons. One, because he's a balkari. In other words, he is tummy. The other because he developed a physical blemish. Amum. And just for the purposes of illustrating this point, let's assume that the mum that he has is a permanent blemish. Okay, now. Avram Machmas Kiryo, Adiv Dilo Hai Chazil Avod, Lamachar V'ilo Avram Machmas Mumo, Lo Chazil Avod. So the Gemara says once again, this one also, not much to think about, not much to discuss. The one who's Tamei, that's a temporary situation. He can wait the requisite amount of time, Tov on the Mikvah, Harav Shemesh, depending on whatever Tumah he has. Here we're describing he's a Balkari, so it's only a one day wait until he becomes okay, becomes Tahor. So for him, obviously, he shouldn't become Tamei L'Tamei Meis because tomorrow he'll be fit to serve. And meanwhile, the Baal Mum, so he can't do the Avoda indefinitely. Okay, so once again, not much to discuss, not much to think about. Ibailahu, the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to have a couple ones which are going to require a little bit of thought. Meshuch Mechamos Gan. Let's say you have the following two Kohen Gadols walking side by side. One of them is a Kohen Gadol, but he's not really a Kohen Gadol. He's what's called Meshuch Mechama. We know that there's a very, very unique Kohen in a very unique position. It's what's called Meshuch Mechama. He basically is a form of a Kohen Gadol, but he's not the Kohen Gadol. And his basic job is to get the troop ready for battle.
He's anointed also.
Huh? And he's right, and he's anointed. So he is it's an appointed position, it's an anointed position, it's a very high Kohen position. And he's walking side by side with a Sgan. Sgan is a deputy Kohen Gadol. Deputy Kohen Gadol did not serve as a Kohen Gadol, he's basically the vice president. Okay? Now, what is the job of the vice president? He's got really, I mean, I know, right? I also, you know, did eighth grade government. But I know he does have other jobs. But essentially, right, he breaks a tie, right? If there's a, right? Okay, good. So the, but basically, the vice president's job is to be the vice president, meaning, God forbid, anything happens to the president, so then he's going to take over. And the Sgan is exactly that. The Sgan Kohen Gadol is basically in a position where, if God forbid, anything happens to the Kohen Gadol, so he's there to take the place. So now, I have the Meshuch Mechama walking side by side with the Sgan, and they come across the Meis Mitzvah. Who's going to go first? Haiminayu Adif, which one of them is better? Better over here, again, I know it sounds like we're ranking. I know it sounds like it's like bracketology. I know Hedy, you didn't understand that point, but you're a better person because you didn't. But basically, it's adif over here just simply means who's going to tend to the Meis Mitzvah, who's going to compromise the Torah first. So Meshuch Mechama Adif Dechazla Mechama. So on one hand, so here the Gemara says here we can really deliberate. On one hand, the Meshuch Mechama should go because Meshuch Mechama, we need him. Right, we need him for going out to war. Which, by the way, even that point of itself, I don't fully understand. I'm admitting, because what's generally speaking going to happen when we go to war? We're going to encounter a lot of death. I mean, it's
he doesn't go with a soldier.
Right. So okay. Anyway, I don't fully understand why he has to be in a position of being tahor in order to assume this position. The Gemara's point is that he's on call. I do understand that point. I just don't understand why he needs to be tahor to be on call. But okay. Odil Maskan Adiv Dechazil Avod. On the other hand, the Skan is also on call. Now, but on call over here meaning that right now he's not doing anything, but if need be, he's going to fill in a very important position of being the Kohen Gadol. So Tashma de Tanya im bein Meshuch Mechama Skan El Sheim Hayu Mahakam Bederuch Matzu Meis Mitzvah Yitame Meshuch Mechama Vayitame Skan. So the Gemara says, okay, on this topic, believe it or not, there's a Braisa, and the Braisa actually takes a very definitive position, which is that given the choice of who's going to become Tamei, the Meshuch Mechama or the Sgan, so the Braisa says, it's of course going to be the Meshuch Mechama, because we need the Sgan in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, we're going to call on the Sgan to fill in the position of the Kohen Gadol. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have another Braisa, and the second Braisa says that the Meshuch Mechama goes in front of the Sgan, and right now what we think, says Tosfos, is that the Braisa is speaking in very general terms. So the Gemara says, no, we're not. Meaning, in this second Braisa we just quoted, is just talking about who's going to get first support. meaning obviously they're both communal positions and they're both going to be supported by the community. But given a priority of who if you will, this is I'm speaking right now in very small terms, but who's going to get fed first, right? Who's going to when called to dinner, who gets seated first, who gets fed first? The Meshuch Mechama is going to get fed first. Why? Because Meshuch Mechama, if my time is a Talabei Rabin. Because for him right now, the people need him. Meaning he's needed for the army, he's needed for the soldiers, right? He's going to be the chaplain of the army, right? The chief army chaplain. People need him. So, the Skan, the deputy, and this is no slight or disrespect to the vice president, but, okay, right now, you know, he's on standby. You know, he can't fly in Air Force One together with the president, but the truth of the matter is, okay, that's nice. But when all said and done, we don't need him this moment. Meshuch Mechama we do need. So in terms of Hechiyoso, so obviously the Meshuch Mechama is going to come in front of the Skan Kohen Gadol. In terms of Tumah, we're going to put the Skan Kohen Gadol in front of the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara says very simply, very succinctly, look, that's the whole reason, the whole purpose of a skan is basically to fill in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol. So in terms of Tuma, we're going to be more protective of him. In terms of Hechayoso, feeding them right now, who are we going to take care of in general? The Kohen Meshuch Mechama, he's the army chaplain. We need him right now. Okay. Ad kan lo pligi ela b'kohen gadol v'nazir ki ka'azle b'hadei adade. The Gemara says, okay, now that we finished with our quote-unquote ranking system, right, the brackets, if you will, so now the Gemara says, now we're going to take a step back and we're going to discuss things which are the most basic. And again, the Gemara Kedarka B'Kodesh, this is classic. Where, like, the minutiae of who comes in front of whom, et cetera, like, the details are discussed, and then the Gemara takes a step back to discuss the broader topic, which is, avachad chalechudei bar itmuye inon. It's obvious that there was a premise operating behind the entire discussion, which is that if either the Kohen Gadol or the Nazir encounters a Meis Mitzvah, they stop, And they roll their sleeves up and they become tummy for the Meis Mitzvah. Minah Nimilin, the Gemara just asks a very simple question, which we'll start the Gemara tomorrow, and that is, what's the source? Meaning, how do we know? If a Kohen Gadol Nazir cannot become tummy for their Krovim, so how do we know that they, what is the source in the Torah that teaches us that they can become tummy for Meis Mitzvah?
What is the assumption that you only need one person to attend the Meis Mitzvah? Do you only need a couple people to, like, is that more practical?
Yes, As a member of the chevra, yes, the answer of course is yes. But we're speaking a little more theoretical than practical over here. Mm-hmm. But given the choices of who should become tummy, so yeah.
Why don't you just measure the distance though, who's closer?
Right, the proximity question, which by the way, the Gemara very often takes into consideration. Right, proximity is a value in halacha. The Rov versus Karov, the Gemara and Beitza. So yeah, the proximity issue is definitely an issue, but over here, just a question of whose tahara do we more need to protect? So that's really the question. But again, now we're going to be dealing with, and we'll start this tomorrow, the larger issue of given the choice not given the choice, right? Being presented Meis Mitzvah. It's obvious, it was an assumption going into the whole discussion. The Nazir by himself, of course, would be Mitamah for Meis Mitzvah. The Kohen Gadol, of course, would be Mitamah for the Meis Mitzvah. And how do we know that? Where does these halachas get generated from? So this discussion will start tomorrow.